Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 7 o'clock in the evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of a small house halfway up in the next block, we find Vic, young Russell, and Sade's amiable Uncle Fletcher. Uncle Fletcher stopped past only a moment or so ago, and as he removes his mackinaw, he observes...
Sadie upstairs, are they?
Be down directly. Be down directly. Russell, take Uncle Fletcher's coat in the hallway and hang it up.
Sure, you bet.
Kind of a raw night outside, huh?
Yes, very penetrating wind. Very penetrating. I run into Ernie Fattler, the interurban station ticket agent there on Kelsey Street. What's the matter, Russell?
Give me your mackinaw. I'll hang it up in the hallway.
What's all this?
He's going to put your coat on the hook for you.
Yeah, it feels like a game of tug of war, huh, Russell?
No, I'm only attempting...
Don't leave off pulling, Russell, honey. We might damage the coat yanking at it like this. I'll play games with you after a bit. Have to transact some business with Papa and Mama.
Oh, heck.
I'll just fold up my coat neat and lay it here on the chair for the time being.
Okay.
Boys, they're certainly scallywags, aren't they?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well, I had my days of mischief, too.
So did I.
Delicious supper.
You didn't take supper here.
Pardon?
You didn't eat supper here, Uncle Fletcher.
I know I didn't.
Well, you said delicious supper. I jumped to the conclusion.
Talking about Ernie Fattler.
Oh.
I saw Ernie on Kelsey Street just now, and he stopped to tell me about the tasty eats they're serving in at the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shop these evenings. Mealy potatoes, he says. Fresh homemade bread, preserved peaches, olive rum, rutabaga shortcake, scalded cucumber, and bent grass ox butter.
I thought somebody was downstairs besides Vic and Russell. You, Uncle Fletcher, huh?
Well, good evening, Sadie, honey.
How are you?
First rate, thanks, Sadie. I keep about average.
Goodness, wouldn't anybody even take your mackinaw and hang it up?
Oh,
well, that's a fine thing.
Well, I tried to get it away from him, Mom, but he refused.
Sadie, my business in dropping past here this evening is primarily with you.
Oh, really?
You people have plans arranged, are they?
Plans? No, we're just sitting home here with our teeth in our mouths.
Likely you expect Ted and Ruthie Stumbottom to visit past and screw up a card game later on.
No, we don't. Fred's putting in overtime at the foundry tonight. Well, we haven't got a thing in the world to do but sit and let our hair grow till bedtime.
Fine. In that case, I might as well go directly to business.
All right, keep awake, you two.
I'm awake.
Vic.
Can't a half-wit rest his lame brain eyes? Anyway, you know how I am after supper. Sluggish, torpid, stupid, lumpish.
You heard Uncle Fletcher say he had business to discuss.
I heard him say he had business to discuss with you.
Well, just the same, you behave halfway civilized. Come on, quit slouching down in that chair like a sack of coal. How would you feel if you visited somebody and the host slumped halfway to the floor and dozed?
Don't you overpaint the picture just a trifle? Isn't there the faintest touch of exaggeration in your description?
What is your business, Uncle Fletcher?
No, go ahead. Finish your conversation with Vic.
It's finished. Tell me this business you got up your sleeve.
Yes, I'll do that.
I'm not as pretty as I used to be. My great mop of chestnut hair no longer tumbles over my snow-white forehead. My tapered fingers and dimpled elbows...
Oh, stop it, Vic. Funny, funny man. It's always funny, funny man.
B.B. Ball.
B.B. Ball?
Sade, honey.
Yeah.
Vic, honey.
Uh-huh.
Russell, honey.
Yeah.
You all of you know, I think, that B.B. Baugh is the inventor and owns the sole rights to the product known as Stingyberry Jam.
Yeah.
B.B. Baugh has buttonholed me on several occasions during the last few days, and he's very anxious...
To have you be his agent for Stingyberry Jam?
That's right, Sade.
The second you mentioned the name B.B. Baugh, I knew what you were going to say.
You're a very smart girl.
Uh-huh.
Lena Critcher there in Dixon was a smart girl, too.
Yes, I remember she was.
She could add up in her head the numbers on the boxcar.
On the trains going past, yeah. She done that once too often, though. Got hit by a train.
Yes. Very sad affair. I was quite well acquainted with an uncle of Lena's. Ollie O. McDozer, his name was. Cried like a little baby when Lena got hit by that train. And loud! He cried the loudest anybody ever heard. Why, thunder, he used to boast later. I bet people heard me holler as far as Sterling.
Oyster Cracker's cousin Lombard that resides in...
Go ahead about B.B. Baugh, Uncle Fletcher. Does he want you to peddle his Stingyberry Jam from house to house by the jar?
Say, B.B. Baugh is one mighty brainy customer.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It is B.B. Baugh's idea, Sadie, to...
To what?
Vic, you might like to listen to this, too.
Vic, hey.
Hello.
Enjoy the delicious supper, likely. Vic made you sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't this a fine thing?
I was awake.
Uh-huh.
I'll have no impudence from you, Russell.
Another fellow there, Dixon, Ed Winkleman's flirt, used to fall asleep 30, 40 times.
Go on about B.B. Ball, Uncle Fletcher. He does want you to peddle his gingerberry jam from house to house by the jar.
B.B. Ball, Sadie, that brainy, brainy scallywag sees no reason why I shouldn't start up a route just like the brick mush man's got.
No.
The brick mush man peddles his brick mush in this neighborhood. He's gradually built up a bunch of steady customers. Why can't I do the same thing with gingerberry jam?
No.
Sure.
What'd you say sure for?
What'd you say no for?
Gingerberry jam-ish.
Brick mush-ish.
B.B. Ball's thought, Sadie, was that you could help me get started.
I had an idea this was coming.
I wouldn't want you to inconvenience yourself in any way, of course, but like B.B. Ball was telling me the other day, you could drop a word to a friend here and drop a word to a friend there. It wouldn't be long.
Uncle Fletcher, I talked to B.B. Ball myself. He telephoned just yesterday.
Fine.
Yeah, fine as silk. He figured that me being president of the Thimble Club and all, I could get the Thimble Club ladies to subscribe to his gingerberry jam.
Yeah, see, he said...
Why, I wouldn't involve myself in any such a wild thing. In the first place, I wouldn't recommend that horrible gingerberry jam to my worst enemy.
Well, it churns and rise and crawls and breathes in the bottle.
Yes, it churns and rise and crawls and breathes in the bottle. It's green and bubbly and cloudy and funny.
Gingerberry jam?
Do you ever taste any?
Beg pardon?
Do you ever eat any gingerberry jam?
I very seldom eat any jam. My preference is victuals is always run.
Well, ask your chum B.B. Ball to give you a sample next time you see him. And then see if you want to sell it to people.
You're not interested in this proposition?
No, Uncle Fletcher, I'm not.
B.B. Ball is prepared to supply you with free gingerberry jam if you're instrumental.
He can keep his free gingerberry jam.
Gingerberry jam, Sadie, contains 46 ingredients.
I don't even want to know what it contains. Uncle Fletcher, I don't mean to sound short and stubborn, but I just don't want anything to do with it.
The brick mush man's got a successful route.
Brick mush is something else again.
You folks take off on him.
Sure, we use brick mush regular. But we wouldn't ever in the wide world use that horrible gingerberry jam stuff regular.
You've got to cultivate a taste for it.
There is a good point.
Yeah, there's a wonderful point.
Yes, you've got to cultivate a taste for gingerberry jam.
Well, you cultivate a taste for gingerberry jam.
Remember Sam E. Honker in Belvedere?
No.
Married a woman 19 years old?
No.
Hated well water?
Uh-uh.
Sam E. Honk lived in Belvedere, married a woman 19 years old and hated well water.
But he cultivated a taste for well water.
That's right, Russell, he did. You're a good boy. Sam Yeehaw cultivated a taste for well water. He drank well water in preference to warm lemonade, mushmelon cordial, chokewood fool, or any of them dainties. Mm. Give me well water, Sam Yeehaw used to scream. Give me a dipper of well water with a little rust in the bottom of the dipper. You people go ahead and drink your warm lemonade and your mushmelon cordial and your chokewood fool. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a man that lived in Belvedere, married a woman 19 years old, and hated well water worse than he hated a snake.
Mm.
He cultivated a taste for well water. This man that lived in Belvedere and married a woman 19 years old could cultivate a taste for well water. I don't see why the people in this neighborhood can't cultivate a taste for gingerberry jam.
Oh, Uncle Fletcher, please, let's don't go into this any further. It's not a bit of use.
Uh-huh.
If I was depriving you of something you need, or if I was standing in the way of your accomplishing something important, why, you know yourself, I'd be the last person on earth.
The matter's shelved for the time being.
What?
I will shelve the matter for the time being.
All right.
I didn't intend to really work on the matter for 2 or 3 years yet, anyway.
2 or 3 years yet?
My thought was to perhaps think about starting a gingerberry jam route maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now.
Uh-huh.
Take it gradual, you know.
Uh-huh.
But right now, I'll shelve the matter.
All right.
Say, honey.
Yes? Yeah.
Vic, honey.
Russell,
honey.
What is it, Uncle Fletcher?
Let's pop popcorn.